lights are on. Everybody's here. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How are you today? Is it raining? No, it quit raining. That's good. Good. We can use the rain. We'll take the rain yet. I know it's been wet, but we're okay. Have you had a good week? Pretty good? Good? Good to see you all today. Good bunch of folks out. Appreciate that. Let's start with 186, please, and let's stand. 186. Father, thank you so much for the beautiful day, Lord, to come here to your house, Lord, to worship you. Lord, the power of prayer is evident. How you've answered here recently, Lord. You've been with Kim through the awful things she had to go through. Lord, Chris is here today. Thank God for that. Amen. Lord, there were people putting up prayers right and left for that lady. And Lord, you answered that prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come here today just to worship you, Lord. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for the daily provision, Lord, the safety, all that you do. But Lord, today we're going to study of you just a little bit in our Bibles. And we're going to have our pastor lead us, Lord. Lord, he needs your power yet today also. Be with him, guide him, direct him, Lord. I pray that he has the power to deliver your message today. That it might sink into someone today, Lord. That they might want to know more of you. Want to get right with you, Lord. Whatever it is, that person might just get themselves straightened out before they leave today. And Lord, also later on, we're going to consider communion today, Lord. Guide and direct there also, Lord. Help us to consider ourselves, Lord, and make sure that we're right while we do so. Thank you for the day, Lord. Thank you for this time. Be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let's see. We got an insert. And unto thee, O Lord. Is it up there, too? It might be. Might not be. Maybe, maybe not. They're working on it. We're going to go without them, or maybe with them, but here we go. Let's sing this through twice, please. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, and not my enemies try. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Thank you. Let's see. Announcements for the week. Evening service tonight, 6 o'clock. Open forum. Let's see. No, we got a special event tonight. Pastor's going to be gone for the evening. We got Lynn's going to take over tonight. Personal evangelism. Wow, my tongue ain't right. Personal evangelism. July 9th and the 23rd, Wilton Bible Study on the 11th and the 25th. The deacon meeting for this month is scheduled for the 18th. We have women's Bible study on the 16th at 6 o'clock in the community center. Please check with Kathy if you have any questions there. Men's Bible study on the 13th and 27th. Check with Pastor on these dates because Denny and Deb's going on vacation. Aspire Nursing Home Bible Study on the 25th at 2 in the afternoon. Check with Marlon on there on the August date. Special music for the K. See, July is K on the 14th, Autumn on the 21st, Jason the 28th. Pastor's thought for the week. Lose your liberty in Christ. Become a slave to him. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning off. Let's pray. Father, thank you for allowing us to come to church today, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful day, the showers, Lord, we're getting right now. Lord, thanks for all that showed up today. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. Thank you, Lord, for our pastor being here. I just ask you to guide and direct him again, Lord. Give him the power he needs. Today, Lord, we're going to try to give a small portion back to you, Lord. I just pray that people would consider, they would give joyfully to you. Thank you for this time, Lord. Be with us as we take up this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Aunt Sharon's going to come up.
Please bear with me. This is a song that I've wanted to sing for a long time, and it wasn't the time, and the Lord let me know that I could sing it. And even if that, I woke up the other morning at 2 o'clock and I begged him. I said, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. He says, Sharon, I didn't ask you to do it. I didn't ask you to do it good. I asked you to do it willingly. So willingly, I'm singing this for Jesus. And the name of the song is, If Jesus Comes Tomorrow, What Then? If Jesus comes tomorrow to spend some time with you, would you answer all his questions or lie to tell the truth? Would you welcome him with open arms or would you let him in? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? If the sky turns black as midnight in the middle of the day, and you know that Jesus would soon be on his way, would you have to ask forgiveness? Could you reach out and touch his hand? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? If Jesus called your number, could you even leave today? Are you ready to lay down your worldly goods and simply walk away? Would it take a month of Sundays to tell him all your sins? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? If the sky turned black as midnight in the middle of the day, and you know that Jesus would soon be on his way, would you have to ask forgiveness? Could you reach out and take his hand? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? But what if it's today?
Yeah. Praise God, Sharon. You didn't know the message today, what it was going to be, but it's going to fit right in perfect with it.
Praise God.
Amen. He's on time all the time.
Amen.
And you know, the truth of it is, it's not if he comes today. He's already here.
Right.
He wants you right now. You know, not to worry about what's coming later, but today. Well, before I get all messed up here this morning, I am going to share, because I know many of you wonder what's happened with Kim. Yep. And so I do want to tell you, be kind of blanket, say, yeah, young people, if you need to go, that's fine. Late in the afternoon on Friday, Kim and I went out to mow grass. She has her own mower, and I had mine, and I was over, if you know our place, I was over southeast of the garden. She was northeast of the house. And what happened is Kim ran into an implement, a hay conditioner, to be precise. She got too close to it, and probably was going too fast, but I won't judge her on that. But she cut her leg badly, between through the knee and down into the top of her calf. And I could have never heard her, but our son Greg and his wife Madeline happened to be there doing chores. Greg was covered in the dirt. He washed the implement off, but they heard her screams, and her blood was gushing out in an artery in her leg. And Greg, in his quick thinking, if some of you know Greg, Greg's a little stiff and he's a little hard, but he has a good heart. Amen. He's a guy, he doesn't even want you to eat ketchup in his truck. He doesn't like that kind of thing. But he got his belt off and got a tourniquet on Kim's leg and headed to Muscatine. And on their way, they called the sheriff's department, 911, and said, don't you stop us. Than if your monkey shines. She's in a dire situation, and she was. We nearly lost Kim. She lost a lot of blood. You would not have believed the truck, but down here at the hospital, team up there did a wonderful job. They were ready for her. They sustained her life, gave her blood, got her stabilized, and she was helicoptered to Iowa City.
She had surgery early yesterday morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning. She's in a lot of pain. She's recovering. She'll be fine eventually. She's not talking on her phone. I know the Solaces had stopped there last night after I'd gone home already, but she's not the regular Kim. At least I haven't communicated with her today. She's very, very a lot of pain and does not want to talk, and I understand that. So please understand that if she doesn't return your calls. So I don't know when the service is over, we'll go up. But anyway, that's the gist of what happened. But the point of this and why I was crying is because if you knew Greg, he's not a warm and fuzzy person. But Greg saved his mom's life.
Amen.
Who else in our family would he have chosen? The team here at Muscatine Faith was miraculous. When I got in there, you wouldn't have believed the blood all over that trauma room. Thank you. And I'm going to be in there as soon as I can get a chance. Faith knows all about what happened. She heard. And ultimately, like I said, when I went in there, I said, "How are you doing, pretty lady?" And she spoke. And I said, "What happened?" She said, "I hit that piece of machinery you've got there in the barnyard." And I said to the team there, I said, "Well, ultimately, I knew whatever happened, it would be my fault." Indirectly. But thank you for your prayers. There's more things, but you get the gist of it. So she's over at the university, and we'll see how things go. And I do want to get over there. But thank you again for your love and prayers and your concerns. And, I don't know if she'll have to go in for some rehab or if she'll be able to come home, but we'll know more today. But it's a very painful thing. And I thank the team over there as well that worked with her, the vascular surgeons. You know, if you're going to get hurt, this is not the best weekend to do it. When there's a 4-day weekend and so forth. But anyway, God has his plans in all things. And that's the point of what we're going to talk about this morning in the message. And this is a slap us upside the head message, I believe, this morning. It's directed to me. I preach these things first to me. But Sharon, you couldn't have designed a better song. But see, God did that. He knows. He knew what was coming down. And he knows for us what yet may be coming down today. But if you're under his protection, you're going to be okay. That's the first thing, be under his protection. But today, the point I want to make, it's what my thought for the week is. It's all prepared before any of this happened. Amen. You know, if we're not a slave to the Lord, we're still a slave to our taskmaster, who is Satan. We need a reawakening, folks, in our nation, in our churches. This is not about us and what we need to do and all the things about us. It's about what Jesus wants us to do and really be set free as a slave in Christ. Pray that I can regain my composure. Brenda, stop crying or I'll do it more. Then I start choking and you'll be taking me up to the doctor. You sure may, if someone wants to lead. Yes.
Pour your Holy Spirit upon his heart today, whether he wants to preach to us. We just pray you cover him. Whole family, pray for Kim too, Lord Jesus. We pray right now in the name of Jesus, you would heal her in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
That she feel your healing power upon her life right now.
Yes.
And may her spirits be strengthened, Lord.
Yes.
Thank God that you were there with her.
Yes, Lord. Yes. And before I stop crying, there's another evidence of God's miracle. Right back there in the corner, it's Chris and Bo and all of us, you know. We're so glad to see you.
Yes.
Yeah. And again, don't doubt what God can do. When the chips are down, he'll bring you through it, if that's what his plan is. All right, we better get to going. Someday we're not going to have to get to going. We're going to have to just sit and enjoy some time, right? That's what I look forward to. I really do sometime. Anyway, bear with me as I open up, but greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is a good God. And it is good to be with you folks today, and the fellowship that we have together as brothers and sisters in Christ is of vast importance. It really is. And it is appreciated. And it's my desire to do the best I can to shepherd, under-shepherd this flock. And you put up with a lot of things from me, and I put up with a lot of things from you. But it's worth it. And Gene Rock, I didn't even say hello to you this morning. I try to get around to everyone. Good morning, Gene. I've probably known Gene in this room longer than anyone else. And Gene, I could tell a story about Greg when he was a little boy getting in trouble at church. He'd had to go out for a little discipline. But Gene and his wife up at Calvary took Greg under their wing. When Dad shouldn't have been doing all the things he was doing in church. And yes, you can overdo it in church. She was known as the boat lady because they made paper boats. I got to quit or someone's going to have to come up here and preach this morning. Romans 8:28, we know that all things. Yep. Gene and Sandy. Anyway, we got to get going or we're never going to get done. The title of our message this morning is Losing Your Liberty in Christ. Have you considered it? Yeah, we just went through the 4th of July and we talk about the great liberties which we do have in this nation. But folks, Christ has also given all of us liberty. And let me just say, there's not a person in this room this morning that hasn't experienced the liberty of Christ. But my question to all of us, have you abused it? And I can answer in my own right there, probably for all of us, yes. I don't even think the master of all this, the Apostle Paul, and in his writings, and I'll get into that briefly here this morning, that he even plumbed the depths of it. But folks, Paul's plumbed the depths of it much more than we have. He became a slave to Jesus Christ. Because he genuinely loved his Savior. And he was willing, again, to be placed under his authority and control. I ask you today as we start, this is really the end of the message, but how many of us are really slaves for Jesus? How many of us have let go of what we want to do? You know, by the way, there's no I in team. You know, and we have that liberty. Jesus gave us that liberty. To not take what he wants or to not do what he wants. And he's pretty good to us, isn't he? No, he's very good to us. But folks, I don't think we get it. There's more there if we're willing to really commit to him. And I'm talking here to Christians, but I'm also talking this morning if there's unsaved in here. People that are not in a personal relationship with Jesus. That's the first step, folks. To yield to him and acknowledge you need help. And let me tell you, he'll help you. But there's more to it than just being saved. No, not for salvation. That's it. But there's more to that relationship that Jesus has for you. Anyway, that's it. We got to start to pray. We could leave it at that, but I wrote it, and I want you to get your money's worth. Let's go to prayer briefly this morning. Shall we just bow our heads in silence for a moment? I'm going to have just a few words, and we'll go right into this message. Let us pray. Lord God, as we adjust our hearts, we address you today as our wonderful Father in heaven, again through the power of the Holy Spirit and the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, that allows us this access, which is precious, Lord. We just pray you to adjust our hearts today, that we'd be ready to receive what the Bible teaches, and to adjust, Lord, and in some cases to repent, Lord, and get it right with you. Because as Sharon's song said, you're here today. We don't have to wonder if you'll be here tomorrow or tonight or 10 years from now. You're here today. Lord, help us to get it right. Help us, Lord, to willingly want to serve you and to become your slave. Now, Lord, I'm the weak link in this chain, and I do pray for everyone here today, Lord. I pray for our community, friends and loved ones, enemies, whatever that might be, Lord, that are separated from you today, and people that are ill and troubled today, Lord. Really, Lord, our physical ailments are one thing, but when people are troubled spiritually, that's the most dangerous illness we can have. Lord, help me again to not get misty-eyed here, but to preach this out for you in an efficient way, but in a way that moves through the work of the Spirit. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends in Christ, as America, and this is our 4th of July message, by the way, as America enters its 249th year of independence from the oppressive rule of Britain, let us be sure to thank God for the courage, vision, commitment of the fathers, founders, and fighters of the United States and our constitutionally governed, democratically elected republic that facilitates our God-given precious liberties. By the way, we are not a democracy, folks. These jokers that we have in our political offices, they don't know up from down. They call it a democracy. It is not. It is a democratically elected republic. We have representatives that represent us, but we elect them democratically. Enough said. America's liberties are designed in the same pattern as the God of the Bible that he gives us, and God does not force or do anything, but nevertheless, his holiness and character stand, and he does hold us accountable because of our sin, folks. And so we have informed choices that we need to make, and we will be accountable for what we've done or not done in our liberty that's given to us by God. It's not what I want to do. I can do anything I want. But folks, we'll be held accountable how we use our liberty. Because with liberty in any given thing, whether it's the liberty that we've been afforded in the United States or the liberty that we've been afforded in Christ, there is responsibility. While our nation has great importance, my purpose here today under the leading of the Holy Spirit is to cause us to consider our relationship to Jesus Christ and step away from our human reasoning and ourselves being number one to Jesus being number one and losing our liberty in Christ. And what I mean by that, he does give us great Christian liberty. He doesn't force us to do things. And let me just say before I go into this, God wants you to enjoy the things he's done here on this earth. You don't have to be cloistered at a monastery to be a slave to the Lord. He wants you still to enjoy things, but everything you enjoy needs to be enjoyed under the guidances and the auspices of Almighty God and the liberty of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what it all comes down to, folks. Have you considered giving up your liberty in Christ and becoming His slave? Yeah, that's right. I'm promoting slavery here today. I'll delineate all that today, folks. But I think it's what God wants. And it's what the Apostle Paul experienced and others in the Bible. And folks, there is nothing more freeing than becoming a slave to Jesus Christ and seeing how he operates. You can't figure out everything that's going to happen in the future. You know that. It's by faith that we operate from day to day. And if you sign on the line and make a commitment to God, he'll honor that commitment. I know he will. His track record in the Scripture proves it. Yes, I'm encouraging us today to become a slave of Jesus Christ. I hope that we can explore this morning for just a few moments. But let me just say this, and it's coming later in the message. You and I are a slave to someone today if we are not a slave to Jesus Christ. And that someone is either to self, but indirectly, Satan. Yes, if you're under his authority today and you're walking in his ways and saying, I kind of like the ways that he purports, the ways of the world and so forth, and what he brings on that go against what God would have us to do, you're his slave today. Today's the day to throw off the chains, folks, because it's the way it is. You're either a slave for Christ, or you're struggling with slavery, or are a slave of Satan and his ways. So don't give me this, that there's no such thing as slavery. Now let me explain that here very briefly. Point one, humanity is by default a slave. In the Greek, it's the word doulos. We'll see that in some of the text here this morning, and I got a kicker in high gear. Is by default a slave to sin and Satan unless you have been set free by Jesus. Go in your Bibles to John chapter 8, 31 through 36. John chapter 8, 31 through 36. This is Jesus teaching. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, okay, the gospel had an effect, again, with the people around him. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, or how do you say, you shall be made free? See, these folks here didn't understand all this yet. We probably don't in this room either. But folks, even if you're saved here today, you still may be under the slavery by your own choice of Satan. You hear me? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. That's the word doulos in the Greek, a slave of sin. Folks, my hand's up this morning. I am a sinner saved by grace, but I still sin. I know there may be some in this room that have never sinned. Well, check the Bible on that, where it says for all have sinned. But can I ask you honestly today and myself, are you a servant of Satan in areas in your life, in your sin? Because Jesus told it right, didn't he? He could not have told it wrong. He said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant or the slave, doulos of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Today, folks, consider becoming a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ in your freedom that he has given you. And experience freedom to the nth degree. As I mentioned, even as believers, Satan and sin can ensnare us and cause us to be enslaved to the wrong master. Matthew 6:24, quickly this morning. I want you to see this. Matthew 6:24. Here again the words of the Lord Jesus. Matthew 6:24. No man can serve. Here again, what do we find in that word serve there? Slavery, doulos. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. And in this case, Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon or money. You can't have it both. You can have it both ways, but both ways are not going to work, folks. Because just as Jesus said, you're not committed. Folks, I'm preaching to a church that is not committed. You are sitting in front of a pastor who is not committed as he should be. You think of the wreck that we see in front of us today. It's a lack of commitment to Jesus. You want to see weaknesses in Fruitland Baptist Church or any other church, it's a lack of commitment to Jesus. It's an I before he, except after C, or when sounded like A, as in neighbor and way. Did any of you have that in English? And by the way, I know how to speak proper grammar, Faith. Remember what I told Mrs. McNeil, my fourth grade? I ain't never had a more better English teacher than you. Point two, slave definitions. There's forced slavery. By the way, I am not in favor, because God is not in favor of what we know as forced slavery. Because here's the basic principle, and you can go to the scriptures to prove it, but God gave people free will. He is not in favor of people being taken forcibly and forced to be a servant of another master, in the case of slavery, that still goes on throughout the globe today. By the way, there's slavery right here in America. I'm not going to get graphic about some of it, but there is an industry. But also, folks, we're slaves to the wrong things. If any of you here are not self-employed, but even if you are, when you get your paycheck, what goes off that check first? And no one says a word with what happens to all that. I know that Jesus said we have to pay our taxes, but folks, think about that sometimes. The first cut goes to who? We are slaves to the government. It was never intended to be that way. But let me assure you, if you don't pay your property taxes, if you, quote, own property, it will no longer be yours. We need help, folks. Some of the same things this nation rebelled against Britain about, it does even worse today. We need the help of Jesus. I had another story, an encounter this week on the way home from Chicago on the train. I don't have time to do it this morning, but Ginger knows it because Kim told her about it, so she can tell you later. But folks, two definitions, forced slavery. This is, and it violates God's freedoms. It is taken against our will and held in bonds without rights to serve another involuntarily. You want me to repeat that? I don't want to because it'll waste time. But there is also voluntary slavery, and that's what I'm a proponent of today towards Jesus. Voluntary slavery is someone who sets aside their own rights voluntarily to serve another by covenant or commitment. That's where we get the idea of doulos, which in the Greek means a bond slave, one who is owned by another. Are you and I owned by Jesus today? Don't answer that flippantly. Consider it. I'm considering it. And I'm telling you forthrightly, I'm struggling yet in those areas. But the events that God has placed me through, even in the last week, have come to make me want to be a bond slave of Jesus Christ, like Paul. Ginger will tell you the story about the train. Sometime, or I will sometime. You lose your fear and you have your courage in Christ. Anyway, just remember this morning, wherever you're at this morning, Satan is a brutal and cruel slave owner and master. He's brutal. But Jesus is a good and kind master slave owner. Go to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. Here Paul writes again. He says, what? Don't you know or know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Are you your own this morning, friends? You know, there's people here today that have either left or they haven't come. They don't want to hear this stuff. We are not our own. And here's why. For you are bought. Did you hear? No one's buying me off. Jesus bought you and I with his precious blood. You are bought with a price. Therefore, do what you want to do because you have the liberty in Christ. I don't think Paul said that, did he here? He said, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You've been bought. I've been bought. We rightly should be slaves for Jesus because he bought us. He owns us. He's adopted us as his children because of his precious blood. Do I need to say anything else? I'll keep going. Are you and I willing to give up our liberty and become a doulos, a bond slave for Christ this morning? This is above and beyond salvation. And folks, I invite you to salvation because Jesus does. Yes, that's the first step, but this is the deeper stuff, folks. The preacher there in the back row is always telling us we need to get deeper. Here it is. This is deep. This is above and beyond salvation, and it's freedom that is about conventional commitment to become enslaved for the master and sold out at all costs. I could stand before this pulpit and tell you that that's my desire. It is my desire, but I am not there yet. And I don't know about you. But evidence at Fruitland is that we are not sold out to Jesus. I find myself being challenged by things God has put in my path lately. This was written even before this thing with Kim. I am still struggling with that 100% commitment. Maybe you are as well, so we're of commonality here. But I know that real freedom and fellowship with Christ cannot be to its fullest until we let go and become His slave. Why not try it? Point three. Yes, there's 4 points. It'll be okay, Brenda. Some examples of Paul who sold out to the Savior. Thank God for Paul. Let's go quickly. Romans 1, 1 through 16. I'll have to cut a little here, slice and dice. But you listen to what Paul has to say. Romans chapter 1, 1 through 16. Paul was sold out to Jesus. Do I think he had times when he struggled? I guarantee he did. Yep. But he writes in here about his passion for Christ. I can't go into all of it this morning. But he was called of God. But I take us, and I'm sorry, I said Romans 1, didn't I? Or did I say Acts? Romans 1, and I'm in Acts. That's pretty common with me. But he was telling us here in the first part of that chapter as he addresses the believers in Rome. By the way, the church in Rome was not a big edifice or big commercialized church. It was a group of believers, probably in hiding most of the time. But notice how Paul starts that. He says, Paul, a... which is the word in the Greek? Doulos. A bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. You go through his stuff here and read it. Paul knew it. He knew this was a calling. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father in verse 7 and our Lord Jesus Christ. But he sums it up down here in verse 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, meaning to the very wise and the very ignorant. I'm in debt because I need to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, Paul closes that classic passage here in 15. He says, so much as is in me. Does that sound like Paul was half in? Does that sound like he was going to go home on furlough to raise missionary support? Even if the coffers were dry. Paul says what there? So much as is in me, I am ready to compel people, that's what preaching is, to be saved. To you that are Rome also, and I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. Paul says, I have a message and I have a mission. And I'm sold out to Jesus. You get the idea there. Romans 6, just a few chapters over. Read the scriptures. This stuff will come very clear to you. Paul was a doulos. He was sold out at all costs. And by the way, we don't know for sure what happened. It's not scriptural. Paul may have made it to Spain. He may not have made it to Spain. But I'm sure that Paul lost his head in Rome. That's what I think happened. He lost it for his faith. And what did he tell him in the last days? He said, go get me a pizza. I'm sure they had good pizza in Rome, right, in those days? He said, what? Bring me a coat because I'm cold here in prison. And what was the other thing he said? Bring my parchments. Paul was committed to Jesus even unto death. He was his slave. We got to go. Romans 6, 15 through 23. Here it is, folks. Paul says, what then? He's talking about the Christian liberty that I gave us this morning. Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under the grace of God? Implied there. And his answer to that is, may it never be. God did not save us to go out and have a party. Even though he wants us to have a party in him and find joy. But God saved us not to feed our flesh, but to be filled with the Spirit. And to be devoted unto him. Where did I start here? 15, 16. And then he says, don't you know, again, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, doulos, to obey his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were, by the way, that's past tense, the servants of sin. How many of us can use that past tense in our lives? No, I'm not saying that we sin, but are you and I servants of sin in our life? Are we slaves? But you were servants of sin, Paul tells the Roman believers, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. Doctrine means truth, which was delivered to you. Is your heart believing today in the doctrine of truth? Of what Christ has done for us and the freedom that we can get through slavery in Christ? Or are you still about you and what you want and going right down the road today? Or what I want? Here Paul says in 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to the righteousness unto holiness. That's the whole point of this message today. Will you and I be changed today from the preaching of the word? By the way, how do we know there will be a change? There might be evidence of that at the end of the service, but the evidence will be in the fruit of your life. And some of you are going to walk out of this room and say, I got to get to dinner. And you're going to go right down the road, but maybe some today, maybe one at least, will say, Jesus, you spoke to me today. That ding-a-ling John, he didn't say it, but the scriptures told me. I'm on the wrong track. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Paul knew all about that. He was still struggling too, wasn't he? Because he had a thorn in the flesh, and he admitted that. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, doulos again, you were free from righteousness or absent of righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? You know, no one wants to be ashamed in our modern culture. But I'm ashamed of myself. As I look into the mirror of the law, liberties, and Christ, how much I've transgressed. We're taught today in our culture, don't be ashamed of anything. You're okay. You know, what's right for you is right for you. It's okay. No, it isn't. We ought to be ashamed. Fruitland Baptist Church ought to be ashamed of its condition. Because the condition this church is in, and I'm not picking on Fruitland, but every church ought to be ashamed. Because the sum of the parts makes up the sum of the whole. And this is what we have in our churches today. Even at Fruitland, to an extent, we are living in the me society. We are slaves to sin, and we have not given our lives to Christ as slaves. And we're seeing and reaping the results of that, folks. And it won't just be about other people. It'll be in your life too. Because people are watching you. Your children, your grandchildren, outsiders. You can't trick people, folks. It's like I tell the students in school. You can't trick or fool an old dog. Because I've been there and done all the stuff you've tried too. What fruit? We ought to be ashamed. For the end of these things is death. But now being made free from sin and become doulos, slaves to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Enough said. Last point, we got to go. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 15 through 22. I'm just giving you a few things to ponder here from Paul. 1 Corinthians 9, 15 through 22. Paul, in his slavery to Christ, was also, as we saw illustrated in the earlier passages there, he was a slave to the deliverance of the gospel and to getting it done right. I'm struggling with that yet. But you know what? Paul is laying it out. And it isn't just me, it's all of us here, folks. By the way, I get concerned because God's given me you folks to be responsible for. You're all saying, well, that's kind of a slight, Pastor John. Let me tell you, it's like when the boys have 500 head of cattle on the feedlots. That's a big responsibility, Kay. I've got a bunch of sheep here at Fruitland. And you have responsibilities to me as well. I'm not talking fine. No, spiritual responsibilities. God has just used me to be the one responsible here. In this position, okay? It's a position of a what, okay? Doulos. Paul, here's what he's telling the Corinthians. Because you know what? When you are in doing things for God, you're in the shooting gallery. You are and will be in the shooting gallery. And Paul was in the shooting gallery. And here is his defense in 15. How far, keep me on track here, 22. Paul says, I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should be my glory, make my glorying void. The tears in my eyes yet give me trouble reading here. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. By the way, Paul did not make himself a celebrity, even though he was famous. He was famous for standing up for Jesus. You know, he did not take a salary. I'm not saying that's wrong, but the point is, he didn't go and try to jack people up for money. He went and preached the gospel, and God took care of him. And that's the way it works when you're a slave. Remember, Jesus is the slave owner. See, he's responsible for us too when we become his slaves. For I do this, Paul says here, under duress. This doesn't sound like a slave that's under duress, though, does it? Because he didn't say that. He said, I do this willingly. I have a reward, but if against my will a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, Paul says, I'm not worried about the reward right at this moment. I'm worried because I've been given the responsibility to preach the gospel. That's not just me, folks. That's all of us. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, there's that word freedom, yet have I made myself a doulos, a servant, a slave unto all, that I might gain the more. See, folks, that's the other part of this picture that unfolds. We're not just slaves to Jesus, but now we're slaves to those that are in need of the gospel. Well, I don't really care about something. I just assume they went to hell. We hear that all the time, too. No. If you're sold out to Jesus as a slave, your burden is for people. People. How does that rack up with all of us this morning? Think about it. Oh, I know Jesus said in Matthew 24:12. He's talking about the days that we're in right now. He said, and coming, tribulation period to come. He says, the love of many shall grow cold or wax cold because iniquity abounds. Anyway, it's a test. Verse 20, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. to them that are under the law is under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law is without the law, being not without the law, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. I got into a big battle when we were still in the GARBC over these verses, over at Ottumwa, with the higher ups in the garb. They said, we need to change all of our ways. We got to meet people where they're at. Well, I don't disagree with that, but you don't. Deb, where's that message that was on the sign out here? God's word never changes, but what Paul was teaching there, he says, I can identify with where people are at, but I don't become like them. Let's get the message straight. Yeah, old Pastor John, like I told our class, I'm always in those, I'm in the vice grips all the time with stuff. I need to shut my mouth and hide in a corner, but I can't do it as a doulos. Well, there's much more. Don't you want to be done? One last thing. Paul's orders about slavery. 1 Corinthians 7, 20 through 24. That's the fourth point in case you didn't catch it. 1 Corinthians 7, 20 through 24. Paul writes, and you can read the context around it. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he is called. I don't know where you're at this morning. I believe I was called into the Lord's service. Have I been a perfect person? No. And am I still struggling? Yes. But you know what? Paul's saying here, you better figure out where you're at and what you're here for. Now, ironically, not ironically in God's Greg may have been born to save his mom's life. You know, we don't see the whole picture. How this all works out and what'll come of it. But Paul says this, don't be hopping around. And by the way, I've told people this even when it comes to employment and it comes to the pastoral office. You know how it is with the pastors. They're here today and gone tomorrow. That's like in the EUB or the United Methodist Church. Don't get too shook up because the conference will move them on. By the way, you can get rid of me any day here, and that is your privilege under congregational rule. But what Paul says is, John, you don't run away from where you were called. I found this verse a long time ago, and it changed my life. Because there have been times in the ministry, there have been times in business when I'd like to walk out the door and seen it shut and walked away. And it's done all the time, folks, and you know it is. But Paul says, stick around. I've always thought that. You're going to miss the good stuff if you leave early. That may not apply to potlucks. Art thou called being a servant? Don't get excited. He says, care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. Paul says, wherever you're at, it's good. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, this is all doulos, by the way, is the Lord's free man. Slavery brings freedom in Jesus Christ. Likewise, also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. You want me to repeat that? Do not be a slave to men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Here's the conclusion. As we prepare to go to communion this morning, may we examine ourselves and the issue of slavery to Christ. Will there be anyone who will step out for Jesus today and make a commitment? What's going on with people today? I think people all must be perfect and I'm the only sinner. I don't see the gospel moving people. I don't know what else I can do but handstands and cartwheels to get people's attention more about the Lord than what I preached this morning. It's something to think about, I would think. Will there be anyone? I don't know. But I know this, Jesus knows our hearts today. But it is evident also in our day that few are interested in being a sold-out slave to Jesus in the church and in our world. Hearts are exposed today, by your action or inaction on the matter. And by the way, I'm not looking, just like communion. This is between you and the Lord, but it's plain as day, folks. It's like the corn sheller man used to say about a certain relative of ours. I could read him like a book. You could see it in their face, in his face. And what I'm saying today is that I want to sell out to Jesus and the commitments that he has given me for my wife, family, and his church, and the deliverance of the gospel would be my main emphasis in life. Yeah, I know you think I do a lot of stuff, and I'm working on all that, but you know what? My main emphasis is to be a better slave for Jesus. You'll have to deal with that as you're led, but that's got to be the main emphasis in my life. God showed that to me over and over. So all I say this morning is, who will join me publicly this morning and become a slave for Jesus and lose your liberty in Christ and really get set free? But there also might be someone here today who has never been rescued from the penalty of their sin. Jesus is here today. He's in our midst. There's more than two people here. And he's ready to set you free from the penalty, the power, and the presence of sin today. But he will transform you into a slave that is totally free. And if you be free, you are free indeed, meaning that's real freedom. Have you tasted it? I've said a lot this morning. We're going to sing briefly here as the deacons come and prepare. But you know what? I'm going to take time today. If someone will join me up here. By the way, why am I up front every Sunday? Because I need to be, Sharon. And you may too, publicly. We'll take the time. Now here's the deal. We are going to do the communion service, and I'm going to go. But the deacons are going to greet you today, and you greet one another. I'm going to head up to Kim. I hope you have a good day in the Lord. Don't let this day go by. Slavery, it's an issue we need to face. Amen. To put it briefly and bluntly, two B's. This is not fol-de-rol or rigmarole. This is, again, an order that Christ gave to those who are his followers, that we never forget what he did on Calvary's cross. And we're all saying today, well, does it have to be like this? Well, Jesus used those illustrations when he used the bread and the cup to illustrate his body and his blood in the upper room. And he said, do this to remember me. You can do it as often as you want, but you need to do it at least regularly to obey what Jesus said. Think about him. And that's what that's about this morning. So as you consider all these things that are going on today in your life, and I consider the things that are in mine, let's take a few moments here to think about Jesus and what he did for us in a vivid way. Again, today I just leave it. I'm going to cut everything short. But the thing is today, this is not a time to be looking around. If you see anyone that's doing that, I don't know what I'll do. This is about you and Jesus. But I'm going to tell you something, what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11. It's better to pass this by and get things set straight with Jesus than to take it unworthily just to put on a show, or because you think it will not save you, folks. It will not even help you in your salvation other than the fact that you'll recall Christ. It's better to pass it by and take the time to talk to Jesus. And we don't have enough time. If you're like me, it takes a long time to talk to him. That's the essence of this today. But that's what it's all about. I'm going to turn it over to these guys, except for the formalism here, Denny. You don't like formalism, but take us to the body here, brother, that we're about to send out. The representation of Christ's body.
Father in heaven, again, Lord, we give thanks again today, Lord. Thank you for a reminder, Lord, that of what Jesus did for us, died and suffered. And as we look to the Father right now, Lord, that Jesus, what Jesus did, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him, Lord. Lord, we thank you again for the challenge today, Lord. Another challenge, like it is every week, Lord. We're being challenged, Lord. This time, today, Lord, we've been challenged to the call, Lord. The call of submission, Lord. What a special day it is to make a decision for you, Lord, to come to you, to surrender our hearts, Lord, fully, not just partially, but fully, Lord. And Lord, in saying that, Lord, we thank you for each and every one here today, Lord. We thank you for their willingness to be in your house and to be gathering together, Lord, under one roof, Lord, again, thank you again for what you've done for us and help us, Lord. We need your help to change us and to make us more like you, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, I slipped up. As these elements are being passed out, Patsy's going to be playing. We won't be singing. But if the Lord has spoken to your heart this morning, get up here. Come and join me. You can have the communion right up here. I'm here today because I've told you I want to be sold out as a slave to Jesus. Anyone want to join me today? I'll be here. Autumn, praise God. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord, Sharon. Thank you for that song.
We all need to get here.
Amen. That's right. But that's up to people. Yeah. And up to the Lord. There's plenty of room up here. The front of the church is always open, and the seats are better padded up here. But today, Kathy, thank you for stepping out for Jesus today. He'll bless you for that. Yeah. Bud, thank you. Amen. Praise God. Yep. So do I, man. That's why I'm up here. Yep. We'll pray when we're finished here, but yes. Yep. Don't be afraid, folks. You'll never regret it. Never. In slavery, you will have freedom. Praise God. Nancy, Lord bless you for stepping out today. It'll be good. Can you serve these folks, Lynn? Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. Paul records what Jesus said there in the upper room. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body. It symbolizes that which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We just talked about freedom and choice. Lynn and Lonnie, you can fight over who's going to pray. Over the cup, over the symbolic element of Christ's blood.
Father in heaven, thank you for the ultimate example of a slave that you, for your love for us, sent to be that example here on earth. Of Jesus Christ. He was a slave to you, Lord, because he was doing exactly what you wanted him to do. He gave his life for us, Lord. The cruelty that was
put on that man of God, the godly man. It was unbelievable, Lord. And then they ended it with hanging him on a cross. No man in this room, no man in this earth could have went through what he went through. But he did it because he loved us. He did it because he loved you. His precious blood was shed for us. Thank you, Lord. We're just taking elements today, Lord, a piece of bread and a little bit of drink. But they symbolize that precious body and that precious blood that was shed for us, Lord. Help us to know it. Help us, Lord, to look at ourselves to make sure that we're right with you, Lord, before we remember what we're doing today. Lord, we're doing this in your honor. Help us to see it and to know it and realize the importance of it. Lord, if someone needs you today, may that person get right before they leave. Thank you, Lord, for those that have come forward today. Thanks for John's message today, Lord. It was wonderful. Sometimes, Lord, just seeing a little emotion and compassion in our pastor really, really does something to us. Be with our church, Lord. Our church is under oppression today, Lord, from you know who. We have a near-death experience here and another one sitting in the back of the church, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Well, you pulled both of them through. Thank you for that, Lord. A lot of it was the power of prayer. Actually, Lord, it all was. But thank you for it. Be this now as we partake. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Who else would come yet today? Help. Oh, praise God, Faith. Ginger, yeah. Praise God. Yeah. He'll never be sorry. Yeah. Ginger. Oh, yeah. You be sure and tell him that story later, too, about the train. Yeah. Jay Don. Praise God. Bo. Love you, brother. Yeah. Oh, Crystal. Just as we're speaking here, if there's anyone here today that has never trusted Christ as his Savior, I want to be sure that we deal with that. If you have a question about that.
bless you in the commitments you've made today. I'm not going to leave, even though the deacons can come out here and shake some hands too. But I will shake and be glad to visit with all of you before I do have to depart. I'm so thrilled about all the things God can do, you know. Yeah. Ginger, yeah. I will do that. Bud, praise God. Yeah. Okay, we get everyone going here. There we go. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Dress rehearsal for heaven, folks. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace forevermore in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day in the Lord.